2. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 48 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome to the Gary Harris Show for this Monday, November the 24th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brumfield is manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. It's a beautiful Monday morning. Finally, a little bit cooler outside, and going to have a beautiful week, I think, for Thanksgiving. Temperature's going to be a little bit cooler for Thursday, and of course, it's rivalry week. It's Iron Bowl weekend on Saturday night at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Alabama versus Auburn, so we're going to go ahead and dive into that today. Start getting ready for a festive week, and then, of course, a big week for college football coming up on Saturday for all of these rivalries, but particularly here, of course, for Alabama and Auburn. We'll dive into this past weekend, Alabama 56, Eastern Illinois nothing. I think the one takeaway for me from that game was Alabama only gave up 34 yards of total offense. And that is just a phenomenal accomplishment. I don't care who you're playing. And, you know, even though at times this year I've said the defense has been questionable, you look at it statistically right now, and Alabama's got one of the best defenses in the country. And so that's something that, you know, Alabama fans should be excited about going into this Iron Bowl. From Auburn's standpoint, they had a little bit of trouble in the first half of Mercer, but the big story there, of course, was Deuce Knight. Their freshman quarterback got the start and was absolutely phenomenal. One of the best quarterback debuts I can ever remember in the history of college football. I mean, the guy counted for 400 yards of total offense, 6 touchdowns. And now I think the question is, does Auburn go back to Ashton Daniels, their starter, who replaced Jackson Arnold, or do they start Deuce Knight in the Iron Bowl based on the way he played against Alabama? It's a question that Auburn fans are asking, and we'll ask it this week as well. Let me say good morning to Chase. Chase, you have a good weekend?
I did indeed. Thank you for asking. How are you, Gary?
Doing well. Just been battling a little bit of the – it's going around a little bit, a little congestion. You probably hear it in my voice, just I guess with all the weather changes that we've had, there's some stuff. You know, don't feel bad, just more or less stopped up and a little bit of throat congestion and nasal congestion, but fine outside of that. Ready to go this week. Looking forward to Thanksgiving, going over to my sister's house in Birmingham on Thursday and spending it with her and her family. And also, of course, obviously football with the Iron Bowl. Going to be a huge, huge week. So did you watch any football this weekend with Mississippi State being on bye, getting ready for the Egg Bowl on Friday? Did you watch any football Saturday?
I did. I had a good slate of games. Very surprising ones for sure. I think really just how Tennessee played Kentucky, that was interesting for me. But and then Georgia Tech losing. That was a shocker.
Yeah. And now they got Georgia and Athens on Saturday, man. It's crazy. College football is a week endeavor. Of course, NFL Sunday, Cowboys came back and beat the Eagles, man. Down 21-0. They came back and won it 24-21. Pretty wild there. Jahmyr Gibbs had a monster game for the Lions. It's just Bama in the NFL is so much fun. So, but we're ready to go. It's Iron Bowl week. Phone calls are lining up. So let's go ahead and start taking the phone calls. Let me go ahead and do the intro. We've got Rodney Orr coming up at 9:30. Casey Smith on golf at 10:30. This hour, the Gary Harris Show is being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It's just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership to join today and feel good about your money. Ample extra change in your pocket. All right, we got Rodney Orr at 9:30. So let's go ahead and start taking these phone calls because they are lined up here for Iron Bowl week. Let's lead off with Dawson. Hey, Dawson, good morning.
Gary. Hey, Gary, you know I don't get to listen to your show very often being out of state. And so when I do, when I try to throw something at you and maybe listen to what the response is and also treat it maybe as a little bit of therapy, a rant or whatever, or venting, whatever you want to call it. And so bear with me. I got a couple of things I want to throw at you. It's funny, you kind of teed it up for me. I think Saturday, the defense is going to have to win this game. I think it's going to be loud down there. It's going to be hard to operate offensively. I think, not being overly critical of anybody, but Ty Simpson seems to have lost a little bit of confidence. I think that's a very nice way of saying it. And I think it's going to be tough offensively, and I think our defense is going to have to go out and win the game. The second thing is I'm extremely disappointed with this group of wide receivers. Bernard and Quavis have been good, but now you don't have Quavis. We really need the guy that is so capable of being an All-American to step up Saturday, Ryan Williams. We need him to make two or three back-breaking plays to help us win this game. He hasn't been right all year. I'm not going to beat up on him. I have my own theories that he's been doing too many YouTube videos and podcasts instead of playing football, but whatever. But we need him to make, you know, two or three back-breaking plays. And the third thing is, and this may be hyperbolic or overdramatic or whatever, but look, Gary, I think this game Saturday is not big just for this season. I think this could be big for the next few years for our football program. Here's why. We lose this game, we don't go to Atlanta. We go to a Florida Bowl game that probably nobody, including players or fans, want to go to. I think we'll have a ton of opt-outs. But I think when that happens, we'll lose that game. And you remember what the noise was like last year. I think it turns up even worse this year if that happens. And then where do we go? And I'm going to throw something out there that may sound absolutely ridiculous, and probably anybody who hears it will think this guy's crazy, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think if that happens, I wouldn't be shocked if our head coach or a ton of assistant coaches leave. Because, Gary, I'm going to tell you, I haven't been around the guy. I haven't met him. You have. Others have. But I've been watching this for 33 years, and something ain't right, man. Something is just off. And I'm not talking about just this year. I'm not saying he's leaving. I don't want people to hear me wrong, and I'm not saying he's going to. But it wouldn't shock me. But this game, I think, is so big, not just for this year, but it could set up good things or bad things going forward for the next couple of years. And I know that I'm throwing a lot at you, but I just kind of wanted to put it out there.
All right, Dawson. Well, you made your point. I guess the key then is to win the game. according to your analysis, they need to win the game. I mean, I don't know. You did throw a lot at me there. I mean, I in premise, I agree with some of it. It is a huge game. I do think, obviously, for this year, it's going to dictate the season. I mean, you lose the game, you're not going to the playoffs, you're not going to Atlanta. So there's a lot on the line. I think long term, that may be a little bit dramatic. Each year is individual, and the way that it is now with the portal and the NIL, I think these seasons are more separated than they used to be. I mean, used to be the programs were, built over time, and if it was a little bit more carryover from one season to the next, but it is a big game. I agree with you. There's a lot on the line. Hey, appreciate the phone call, Dawson, man. Good to you made a lot of good points there, and Alabama needs to win the football game. I do agree with you there. All right, let's go ahead and talk to Bryce before we hit the break, and then we'll come back with more phone calls on the other side. What's up, Bryce?
Well, it's just, we just got to show up and play ball, and not make turnovers and not make mistakes. But I don't think that it's as bad as the last caller thought. I think we just got to just show up and play ball and do what we know we can do. You know, we haven't played a complete game yet. And, hey, Saturday would be a good time to play one. What do you think, Gary?
Well, sure. Obviously, you want to play your best football against your biggest rival. You know, one thing I want to keep in mind, too, and I know Auburn has given them a lot of credit for a team that's 5-6 and 1-6 in the SEC without a head coach. They've held it together. You know, they have managed to stay focused and make this a big game. There would be a lot of times when you went in with a record like that that people would dismiss you, but nobody's dismissing Auburn. They're going to be ready to go. But I do not want to lose track of the fact that they are 5-6 and 1-6 in the league. There's a reason that they've got that record. And, you know, everybody that's played them down there in the SEC has beaten them at Jordan-Hare this year. So I know that for Alabama, they're going to be ramped up and all that, but Alabama is a better football team than Auburn. Now, does that guarantee that they're going to win the game? No, it doesn't. It doesn't guarantee that they're going to win the game. But they're a better football team. There's a reason that one team's 9-2 and the other's 5-6. And
what happened to Clayton?
We'll find out.
What happened to Clayton? I didn't realize he was hurt.
Who's that?
The tight end.
Clavis? Yeah, he got hurt during practice leading up to the game. So I don't know what his status is for this Saturday. I'm sure
he's going to play or not play. So here's
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm sure Coach DeBoer have an update today at his press conference. But he got hurt prior to the game at practice during the week and was not available, and I don't know what his status is going forward. If he can't go, those other tight ends will have to step in there and play.
Exactly. You know? We got some tight ends, and they look.
Yeah, they got some good young tight ends. So,
hey.
Well, all right, Bryce, good phone call. I know, you know, there seems to be a lot of angst about this game because of the fact that it is a Jordan-Hare. And we know that Auburn plays Alabama a lot tougher there than they do when they come to Bryant-Denny. I mean, this is a rivalry right now where, you know, when Auburn comes here, for the most part, they're not even competitive. But they're certainly competitive there. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more phone calls. We've got Robbie. We've got Corey Trussell. So hold tight. We'll get the phone calls. Rodney Orr coming up at 9:30. It's Iron Bowl week, Thanksgiving week. It's a big week on the Gary Harris Show. We'll be right back after this.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. A shooting late yesterday afternoon at the 600 block of East 30th Avenue in Tuscaloosa left a man dead, but investigators believe there is some evidence to suggest the fatal shooting was an act of self-defense. And Edward Williams has been charged in connection to a stabbing in the Lakeview Country Club area in North...
You buy Fincher and Osmond. Fincher and Osmond carries artisan-created diamonds, and trust us, they are bigger than you expect. Visit www.fincherandosmond.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special.
Get to Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa before your friends do.
On select models with approved credit while supplies last. Stock number L2417. Taxes and fees extra. See dealer for details.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the...
Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Do you remember?
Running out on with phone calls, as we are going to get to Robbie Glenn to lead us off, and then we get to Corey and Trussell. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary, love that song. Appreciate playing that for me. But,
absolutely.
Happy rivalry week and Thanksgiving, and, you know, it's going to be a great week. And, you know, the last two callers, I get it. I mean, we know this game's huge. It's no doubt. but so do the players. So they're going to be ready. I like the way Ty played. Did he have a couple picks? Yes. But that first pick was a great pass. It was going to hit the receiver right in the chest, and that defender made one athletic, acrobatic play to intercept that. So I don't hold that. And then the second one was a Hail Mary, so you can't really hold that one against him either. It is what it is, but I like the way we played. We took care of business. Got some players in there. We saw what we got available. I'm a little worried about Cuevas, but when I saw him on the sideline, I know he has an ankle injury, so I don't know how bad, but I saw him jump up and high-five a guy, so it can't be too bad. So I expect him to be available. And then everybody else, hopefully, you know, our center was in a walking boot, so hopefully that's something he can get figured out. But, you know, our special teams had a great game. They needed to improve there. They did. I know it's against an inferior team, but they still improved. And hopefully they carry that over into Auburn, because we're going to need every play we can get, and it's going to be ball security. And so I love Cole being back there returning punts. Very secure person. He's going to get you 7 to 10 yards. He's going to make the fair catch when he needs. He's not going to let the ball drop. And we're going to need that. And also, when we get to that, I think Ty is more comfortable back there when Jam is back there helping block. He's a senior. He's seen every kind of blitz package. I think I like him back there, definitely in obvious passing situations where he can pick up those blitzes and get him some security. And I think we're going to have a good game. I mean, I know it's a tough place to play. Now it's at night. But we know what's riding on it. They're going to be ready. They're going to show up. And the fans need to be ready for a great game. And I know we boot our kicker. Probably need to stop that. I know it's part of it. But he's going to be our kicker. We're not going to throw a freshman out there to kick. This kid needs his confidence and needs us behind him. And hopefully he gets it back and we'll be all right. So it's just going to be a great week. Rivalry week always is. And it's not just the big game. I mean, there's a lot of big games at stake that control Bama's destiny too. So, and then not to mention basketball tonight. So late games.
Yeah, it's out there in Las Vegas, so basketball's got to be ready to go, that's for sure. But good week. Like you said, Rob, you said a lot there. All our callers this morning are ready to court and fired up. Hey, thank you for the phone call. Let's get to Corey and Trump before we wind up the segment. Hey, Corey, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
I was disappointed in the Eagles last night. They blew it, Gary. They blew it. You had a 21-point lead, and you didn't score in the second half. I like Philadelphia from an Alabama standpoint, and it's disappointing that you couldn't close out the game. And you had a 3-touchdown lead, and give credit to Dallas for not giving up. But you had a chance to put a chokehold on your division, and you lost the game, and Dallas gained the game. And don't get me wrong, I think Philadelphia will win their division easily, but I'm just saying I was disappointed that you lose to a rival in Dallas and you couldn't close it out. But going to Alabama, this game is extremely important. I think that the key to me, when I look at a rivalry game, there's a few things I look at. Who has the better quarterback? Who has the better playmakers? Who has the better line of scrimmage? And who has the better specialty? Well, quarterback, if Ashton Daniels or Deuce Knight starts, you could make the argument that Auburn does because of their athletic ability. Wide receivers, Cam Coleman might be the best individual receiver, even though Alabama's got a better collection of receivers. But sometimes it takes just one player to take over a game. Offensive line, I would give it a push in that game, though Alabama probably is a little bit better. And then defensive line, I would say a push there. because both defensive lines have played really well. And special teams, I would give it to Auburn from a kicking perspective, because Alex McPherson's done really well, and our kicker obviously is not. Head coaching, yes, Kalen DeBoer is a better coach than DJ Durkin, but this is Kalen DeBoer's first time ever going to Durant-Near Stadium. We don't know how he's going to coach down there, good or bad. We don't know. DJ Durkin's at home. We don't know how he's going to coach there either, but he's in a more comfortable element, so we don't know. But there's a lot of ways you can look at this, but Auburn's got some advantages. Alabama's got some advantages. Auburn's at home, but usually in the Iron Bowl, the better team wins. But this is going to be a critical game, and I just hope special teams don't come down too, because we've seen that way too many times.
All right, thank you. Very good analysis, Corey. Appreciate the phone call. 9:28, and boy, tell you what, Bama fans aren't exactly brimming with confidence this morning heading into this Iron Bowl. It'll be interesting this week for sure. All right, good phone calls to get the show started. We're going to come back with Robbie Orr from FighterInsider.com, FighterInsider TV, get his analysis. That'll be next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on the Eastern Illinois Panthers. Our coverage begins at 10 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at
for you. Contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 73. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 59. Tomorrow, cloudy with occasional rain, possibly a few thunderstorms. The high tomorrow afternoon at 72. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Tider.com, Tider Insider TV. It's Iron Bowl week, and Rodney's going to give us his analysis. Also, look back briefly at the game this past Saturday against Eastern Illinois. How are you, Rod?
Hey, Gary, how are you? Going crazy.
Doing well, yeah, before we get into the Iron Bowl, Alabama 56 and Eastern Illinois, nothing. A lot of talk about the Tide's running game, and I don't know if this was noteworthy since the opponent, but 8 rushing touchdowns by 6 different players, and you know, a lot of positives in the game. Ty played a half, did throw 2 interceptions. One of them, though, was just a throw into the end zone there at the end of the half. But just your analysis offensively of what you saw in that game against the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, I think they obviously, you know, kind of shut things down. You know, Ty threw it only 16 times in the first half. I thought Alabama just kind of lined up and ran the ball, you know, focused on that a little bit more. You know, so I thought it was pretty generic for the most part. And I thought Ty, you know, I didn't think he was extraordinarily sharp in some things. You know, like you said, he missed the guy over the middle, throws the pick. I guess he just didn't see him. And then I thought throwing into the end zone, DeBoer said that's what he wanted him to do, and I understand that. I mean, but at the same time, I thought Ty could have thrown that ball a little differently, you know, kind of put some air under it. Not that it would have been completed, but I think when you throw those kind of balls, the Hail Marys, you know, really they're kind of to put some air under it. So I didn't think he was his sharpest. There didn't seem to be a ton of energy in the first half. Now, defensively, obviously, they played extremely well again. They only allowed 34 yards of offense. So, and it is Eastern Illinois. They're not a great team. They came in 3-8, but still, Alabama did a fantastic job defensively. But I thought in the second half, and I'm really not 100% sure why, but it just, it kind of seemed to be more energy. I thought that the two young quarterbacks, Austin Mack, Keelan Russell, both showed a lot of potential. Both did really well. I mean, when you have guys come off the bench that haven't played that much, have a little experience, and they execute the way they did, I think that's a really impressive coaching job that they've done with those guys.
Yeah, let's get into the defense more. I mean, 34 total yards, 34 total yards. I don't care who you play. That's impressive. And a shutout, which is, you know, hard to get in college football. And now we look up 11 games in, and, you know, you and I at times have questioned the defense, and they felt like there have been some inconsistent play at times. But down the stretch, they've been phenomenal. I mean, 232 yards against LSU, 212 against Oklahoma, and then 34. And now statistically, they're one of the – they might be the best total defense team in the SEC. I need to look it up, and I think they're top 10 in the country. So over the course of the season, this defense has gotten better, and they've had a really, really good year. And to the point now where you could almost say that defensively, Alabama might be ahead of the defense might be ahead of the offense going into the Iron Bowl.
Oh, I think it definitely ahead. I've got more confidence right now in that side of the ball because I think they have played really, really well. As you said, they've improved, but I think they've played well together. That's the thing that, you know, I really like is kind of front to back. You know, I think that they've played extremely well as a unit and playing well together. So, and when they make a mistake, when they give up a play, you know, they bow their necks. They really do. I mean, they in the red zone, they've been really good. We saw the opportunity that, you know, after the turnover that they had an opportunity, Eastern Illinois to score, and immediately Alabama pushed them back. So, yeah, they've done a fantastic job in all of these games. And, you know, I think when you look down at, you know, this matchup coming up Saturday, Alabama's defense is obviously going to play a major role in Alabama's chances to win this game because Auburn offensively has struggled for now the last couple of games with DJ Durkin, now they obviously put up some points against Vanderbilt. They lost in overtime 45-38. And then, you know, this past game against Mercer, which is a decent, pretty good team on their level, actually, with Deuce Knight at quarterback, you know, they kind of exploded. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, that matchup on Saturday night, the Alabama defense against the Auburn offense. But and it's also going to be interesting to see, okay, we figure Daniels is going to start at for Auburn at quarterback. But you know what's going to happen if he struggles. Immediately, everyone's going to be calling for Deuce Knight with the performance that he had.
Yeah, he had one of the most incredible debut performances of a freshman quarterback we've ever seen in college football, accounting for 6 touchdowns, nearly 400 yards of total offense, running the ball. He looked like Cam Newton, and he threw it well, too, in that game. So, yeah, I think a lot of Auburn fans are actually at the point now where they'd already just want to see him start in the game. But let's move on to that game. One team is 9-2. That's Alabama, you know, 6-1 in the SEC. One team is 5-6 and 1-6 in the SEC. But as I said earlier, Bama fans aren't exactly brimming with confidence, at least based on my show in the first half hour with the phone calls. And it kind of does feel that way, even though you've got one team that's ranked in the top 10 and trying to secure a playoff berth and the other just trying to become bowl eligible. You get the sense that most people see this, I guess because it's a Jordan-Hare and because Auburn's been competitive in all of their losses, you get the sense that a lot of people see this game almost as a toss-up, Rod.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, I understand why Alabama's, maybe a 5-point favorite. I think the line's down to around 5 or whatever. I mean, I could see that. You know, You're going down there. It's DeBoer's first time down there. I think, too, to be frank with you, and I think that Ty Simpson has lost some confidence. I don't think he's playing on the level that he was. I know there's a lot of people that say, well, the offensive line's not doing their job or the running backs aren't doing their job. There's no running game. There's a lot on him. You know, but I still think that there are plays that he's missing that and mistakes that he's not avoiding, that he was making those plays at one time and he was avoiding those mistakes at another time, you know, at the same time. So here's what I would say is you look at Alabama in the last seven games, they've turned the ball over 11 times. The first four games, Gary, they had zero turnovers. They have five turnovers in the last two games. So that's something that I think Alabama is going to be a real key for them in this game, is the turnover margin, which they were winning every game, dominating. They were plus 10. I think they're down to plus 5 or 6 right now. But so they've kind of lost that edge there with that. And Ty's turned the ball over several times. I mean, obviously he went, what, I think 5 straight games with a fumble in the pocket when he was hit. And then he had 2 interceptions in this last game. Of course, one, like I said, was a Hail Mary. So, but I think just protecting the football, ball security is going to be huge. Because, listen, as you know, you go down there, you turn the ball over, you're going to create a lot of electricity in that stadium. It's going to be a buzz already. So you got to protect the football. And I think that's a real key right now. And to me, you know, you can only call it like it's happening, like it is. And Ty has struggled.
Let's talk about this game from Kalen DeBoer's coaching standpoint. And Dossie, one of our listeners, called in earlier, and he said he thought it was, you know, going to set the tone for DeBoer's entire career at Alabama, not just this season. I think these seasons stand alone, and every season's its own season. Having said that, it is a big game for Kalen DeBoer. When you look at where he's positioned this football team, what's on the line in the short term, when you think about it, you're playing for a spot in Atlanta, possibly. You're playing for a spot in the college football playoff, possibly. So it's big, and you're playing to beat your in-state rival for the 6th consecutive time. And if you lose this game, most of those things are off the table. So I don't want to look ahead to 2026. We'll worry about that. But for Kalen DeBoer, you know, outside of just the rivalry between the two teams, this is a huge game for him, Rod. There's no way around that.
Yeah, you know, look, it is. And I'm not completely comparing it to 1989, okay? But Bill Curry was obviously – there was some limbo there. You know, and look, I think it's fair to say there are some Alabama fans that are still saying, is Kalen DeBoer a fit at Alabama? That is out there. And, you know, it was the same thing when Curry was here in 89. And he was 10-0, ranked number 2 in the country, potentially headed for a shot at a national championship when they went down to Auburn. That was a huge game. And they lost that game. And that changed everything for Curry. That one game pretty much pushed him out the door to Kentucky. You remember that?
And I do very
then
well.
They lost to they lost to Miami, obviously, which was a much better team in the Sugar Bowl and the national champions. But am I really comparing it to that, saying that if DeBoer were to lose this game, it would be he would have the same fate as Curry? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this. I do think that what happened in year one and now what's happened here, where we are, if he loses to Auburn after having lost to Oklahoma, you've had a collapse in November. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. And all of a sudden, you've gone from number 3 in the country or 4 to out of the playoffs. That's going to be really hard for Alabama fans to swallow if you lose that game to a 1-6 Auburn SEC, the 1-6 in the SEC. It's going to be really hard to swallow. And now you're out of the playoffs for the 2nd straight year. With that said, the other side of the coin is this. If you go down there and you beat Auburn, I don't know that you're in the playoffs automatically, but you're going to the SEC championship game. And if you win the SEC championship game, then all of a sudden I think Kalen DeBoer has put his a resounding stamp on his program here at Alabama. And you go into the playoffs, and I think everybody's happy, you know, at least for now. It could go either way. I mean, it could go either way. But what I would say is this, to Dossie's point, is that if Alabama does lose this game to Auburn, if they are knocked out of the playoffs for the second straight year and had a collapse in November, then I do think it's reasonable to say that next year, 2026, is really huge for Kalen DeBoer. I mean, I think that's reasonable to say.
When you look at the matchup, and again, I'm going to give Auburn credit too. I think I said this earlier in the show, Rodney, the way they've held it together this year, even though they've got a losing record, they've only got one SEC win, you know, they don't have a head coach, but they've stayed engaged, and I give them a lot of credit for that. Still, their best win is Arkansas, who hasn't won an SEC game, possibly maybe at Baylor. Alabama's beaten Georgia. Alabama's beaten Vanderbilt. Alabama's beaten Tennessee. Alabama's a better football team than Auburn. That I'm not going to debate. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win the game, but Alabama is a better football team than Auburn. That's why the records are what they are. What are the keys in your mind for Alabama to go down there Saturday night and win the game?
Well, like I said, I mean, I think first and foremost, you can't beat yourself. You just simply cannot turn the ball over down there. They've got to protect the football. Defensively, I like where Alabama is right now. I think that, you know, still, I think Auburn has some, they've gotten better the last couple of weeks, it seems, on offense, whatever they're doing. Daniels just did a better job in the Vanderbilt game, of course, Deuce Knight, like we already mentioned. But, you know, I think you have to keep your composure down there as well. And I'm not just talking about turning the ball over. I mean, this is going to be an environment that's going to be really challenging. It's going to be something that Ty Simpson, I know he managed the Athens environment really well, and there may not be a tougher environment. They won 33 in a row at that time there in Athens. But I also think that Ty was playing with more confidence then. So, you know, again, I go back to how does Ty play? How does he handle the environment there? I think that'll be a real key in this game, because they need Ty Simpson to be at his best, because they're going to have to throw the football, and he's going to have to keep his composure. And so that'll be something interesting to watch to see how he manages that.
We've already mentioned the Auburn quarterback situation. They started with Jackson Arnold. That didn't work out. They went to Ashton Daniels. He had more success than Arnold. He wanted to sit out against Mercer so that he could preserve a year of eligibility. He is expected to be the starter. But as you said, what Deuce Knight did on Saturday was impressive. And I'm sure there are a lot of Auburn fans saying, start Deuce Knight. But you had said you do expect that Auburn will start Ashton Daniels in the game.
Well, that'd be my guess. I think, again, he is a little more experienced on this level. But again, who knows? I mean, I don't know, but it would surprise me a little bit if they started Deuce Knight. I mean, I think if he played at all, he would maybe have a package, or they would bring him in if things got maybe in a situation where Daniel struggled, I don't know exactly what their plan is with their quarterbacks, but, we'll just have to see. But I would expect Daniels would start, be my guess.
For Alabama, and we've already talked about this, what it means for Coach DeBoer, but for this football team, I mean, this is a big game for the rivalry standpoint, but Alabama still has, you know, a legitimate chance to win the national championship. And that's what's, you know, what they played for this year. That's been the goal, to have a chance to win an SEC championship. I mean, so you don't want to, I think, Rodney, get so overwhelmed with the rivalry aspect that you forget to look at the big picture, and that is that, and Coach DeBoer said it Saturday night after the game, Alabama's put itself in position to reach every one of the goals that it set out for this year. And, you know, there's a lot for Alabama to play for just not just to win this game, but to have a chance, you know, to win a lot more than just the Iron Bowl.
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of like we laid out earlier, I mean, I think just as dire as some of the circumstances would be if you lose, you know, you still have some just as much hope to fulfill all the goals that you had coming into the season. If you win this game, I mean, everything changes. It, like I said, yeah, when they lost to Florida State and everyone was upset and, you know, things didn't look good, you know, my thought was, okay, you beat ULM next week. You beat Wisconsin in 2 weeks. You go to Georgia and see what happens. If you can manage those three games and beat Georgia in Athens, all of a sudden the whole narrative changes. You know, I'm not saying that's what I expected, but you could, the opportunity was there. And Alabama did that. And I think against all odds, there were a lot of people that counted Kalen DeBoer and this team out at that time. You know that. Chris Lowe wrote an article that said there were people ready to buy out Kalen DeBoer at the time. And so there was a lot of doubt, but they found ways to get themselves back in a position to where they are now, actually. And that is that they still have all of those opportunities in front of them. But there is a challenge there, like you said. If they beat Auburn, they go to the SEC championship game and win that, then the whole narrative changes again. Alabama's back in the forefront. You know, they're where everyone, all Alabama fans hoped they would be. My question, though, Gary, is this, and that is, does Alabama have to win, not only beat Auburn, but also win the SEC championship to get into the playoffs? Because it seems like now that the committee is kind of leaning towards, okay, if you have three losses, you're out, regardless of whether you lost that game in the SEC championship game. That's just the sense I get, is that if Alabama does not win the SEC championship, then there's a very good chance they could get left out. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm saying that kind of seems to be where this is. If you just get a sense of where this is headed, or possibly headed, that losing three games could be it, you know? And last year, the feeling was, well, we're not going to hold it against a team that gets to their championship game and loses. But this year, now all of a sudden, that seems to be what the message we're getting.
Going to be a big one. Of course, you and I will make our predictions tomorrow night on Tider Insider TV for the Iron Bowl at 6:30 on WVUA 23. So going to be a heck of a week. And Saturday night, boy, it's going to be something else down there at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Hey, Rodney, tell everybody about TiderInsider.com.
Yeah, right. TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year. You can get instant access with your credit card if you prefer. There is an address there to send a check. Gives you all our premium information, but also our all sports forum. A lot of talk there, a lot of chatter, you know, obviously about this game and about the future after that. And then also the basketball team certainly is generating a lot of conversation as well right now.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rod. And have a great day.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
All right. We'll come back and wrap up this hour of the Gary Harris Show right after this.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, host of the Miller's Edge here on Tide 100.9, coming to wish you and all your loved ones a happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays on behalf of myself and all the fine folks here at Tide 100.9.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept, Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m., available for after-hours events.
Your celebration, we've got you covered. Learn more about private party packages, hours of operation, and when Santa will be here at holidaysontheplaza.com.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh.
decades pub and grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 73. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 59. Tomorrow, cloudy with occasional rain, possibly a few thunderstorms. The high tomorrow afternoon at 72. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:58. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the Gary Harris Show, brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two is on the way. We'll have Kaitlyn Smith on golf at 10:30 for your phone calls. Hopefully we'll get to the Kaitlyn DeBoer press conference Saturday night. All that's coming up in the second hour. Iron Bowl week on the Gary Harris Show. Stay with us.
Let you know, girl, you're looking good, you're out of sight. All right, just move yourself and glide like a 747, and lose yourself in the sky among the clouds in your heaven calls.
Let this groove fire up the blues, it's all right,
all right,
all right.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles,
Bolaños. The Houston Texans came ready to play for Thursday night football as they defeated the Buffalo Bills 23-19. Josh Allen was 25 of 35 for 262 yards and two interceptions. He was also sacked a career high 8 times.
Yeah, it's not fun. I ran into a couple myself. I got to be better with throwing the ball away and living to see another down and letting us play some situational football and pinning them deep. And too many times I was going backwards, and I got to be better on that.
Houston improves to 6-5. In the NBA, Tyrese Maxey dropped 54 points to go along with 9 assists as the 76ers topped the Bucks 123-114 in overtime. Sacramento has lost 8 in a row after losing to the Grizzlies.
Hats and outerwear. We're closed Thanksgiving Day to be with family. We look forward to seeing you in store during Black Friday. Boot Barn. Unwrap the West.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Here at Show right here on Tide 100.9 FM, 1230 AM WCBC, the Tide 109 app, and Tide 109.com. I'm Gary Harris. Chase Brumfeld manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. And once again, we got phone calls lined up. Going to lead it off with the sheriff, Tom. Hey, good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm battling a little congestion, but outside of that, I'm good.
Well, I'm not going to doctor today because I've already give you my strategy. And but anyway, I thought the conversation with Rodney was outstanding.
Thank you.
I thought y'all hit the highlights of what this week entails for the coaching staff at Alabama. And I'm of the opinion they better win this game, because I don't know that they want to fight back against the current that'll be flowing if he loses. And I really believe they better go all out. And I tell you something else. Ty needs to bring his rear in out there and don't start out short hopping the ball to the receivers. Don't do that. And don't be a sheep. Go out there and be a dog. And let's get after it and let's get this thing done. But, you know, the interesting part of the conversation was this for me. Rodney says that he's believing, like I was believing last week, and that is if Alabama wins against Auburn and makes it to the SEC championship game and loses, he thinks that third loss could be a problem. Now, last week I thought that as well. But here's what I want to take to the table this morning. You made it to the championship game, and you made it to the championship game of the best conference, and you made it there with a very strong schedule. Notre Dame ain't got the strength of schedule that Alabama does, and they have no championship game.
No, I'm with us. We're on the same page. If Alabama beats Auburn and goes to the SEC championship game and loses to an unbeaten Texas A&M team or a one-loss Georgia team, and do I think they deserve to go into the college football playoff? Absolutely. I agree 100%. Problem is, you and I don't make that decision. And I get a sense, like Rodney said, that last Tuesday they set it up. That committee and your objection in their interview.
I agree.
Set it up, the possibility that they're setting the stage that if Alabama were to go to the SEC championship game and lose, the precedent could be set that they are left out, and it would be a travesty. But and I want to believe that if Alabama beats Auburn, they're in. Of course, the critics will say, well, if you go to the SEC championship game and win, you're in. So, but it shouldn't come down to a win or you're in type of scenario. I agree with you, but it could.
Yeah. Here's another thing I want to throw in there. Part of the responsibility of the committee, whether they admit this or not, I do believe that it's a factor, and that is how many eyes can we get to watch these playoffs? And there was an article over the weekend that I read, the most watched football team in America in college was Alabama this past year.
Has been this year, yeah.
And that was because of strength of schedule. I do believe that. And because let's face it, the games they had in the midst of the schedule were outstanding football games against outstanding football teams. I think they got that going for them. And I think that maybe the only other team that could push them out on the grounds of favorability of ratings in TV is Notre Dame.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I think Alabama and Notre Dame are right there at the top. I mean, this year, Alabama's games, as you said, have been the highest rated games. And I think once Nick Saban got to Alabama, I think Alabama's the number one TV property in college football right now. But both of them are really high viewed properties. You know, maybe both of them make it in. That, you know, listen, I got no problem with Notre Dame. I really don't. All of the Notre Dame hate. You know, they're a good team. They're a good team. Yeah, they lost two early games, but they've been steamrolling people. So I don't think this should come down to Alabama versus Notre Dame for that final spot. I mean, if Notre Dame goes 10-2, they probably deserve to be in it, and so does Alabama. So I don't want to pit it. You know, everybody's making it Alabama versus Notre Dame, but you know, I think there's room for both of them.
Your experience in TV industry ratings, how people view things, how people make a presentation of a product on the airwaves is what I'm kind of throwing up there against it to see what you think, if that is a factor.
No, it should not be a factor, Tom. It should not. The committee, how teams draw on TV should not have any iota, one bit of relevance into how they pick this playoff. It should have nothing.
You think it does?
It's not supposed to be a criteria at all. So if you're asking
but
me,
do you think it is though?
I don't know. I don't sit on that committee. I don't think that it is. I don't think they get in that room and say, hey,
pure speculation.
We better take this team because they get higher ratings than that team. If that had been the case last year, they'd have taken Alabama over SMU. If that had been the case.
Well, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tom. So it should not be a factor. All right. Let's get to Ragged Glory. Hey, Ragged Glory. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Happy Monday, man. Manic Monday. You know?
Thank you.
I just wanted to chime in to, oh, by the way, blessings upon you. I know what it's like to have congestion. Hope you feel better, bro.
Thank you.
Let's go back. You're welcome. Let's go back to Rodney's comment. And of course, Tom here. What I want to say is I have to give some credence to conspiracy theory. It is imperative for us really to win out because, and my sister has always been one of these things, they hate us because they ain't us. Everybody does want to see Alabama fail. Okay? Well, here's the deal, team. Play your game. This is the next one. Auburn, you've got to beat them. Yay! Iron Bowl. Woohoo! State of Alabama. Now it's time to go to the SEC Championship. But you will have to win that as well. It's just plain and simple. Therefore, the committee cannot keep us out because it was, from what I've seen over the years, you win the SEC Championship, it's an automatic, okay, you're in the playoffs. Same with any other conference championship. You know, you're in. When you're in. What do you say about that?
Oh, there's no doubt. The SEC champion is going to get a first-round bye. I mean, they're going to get a top four seed in the first-round bye. So the point that Tom is making. Hang on, Ragged Glory, let me finish. The point that Tom is making is that Alabama should go to that playoff whether they win the SEC championship game or not. And I agree with them. But at the same time, they may not. But, yeah, if you win the next two games, you're in. I get that. The question, though, is if you beat Auburn and lose the SEC championship game, are you in? I think Alabama deserves to be in if they get to the SEC championship game at 10-2. That's what we're debating.
That's good. Okay. That's good. I agree with that, definitely. But, man, it's like we need to do this, period. That's all.
No, I agree with you. I mean, as I said last week, and I'll reiterate it now before we get to Phillip, I think you focus on this game, period. You focus on the Iron Bowl. You win it, and whatever happens after that happens. But if you win this game, you'll live with the results of whatever happens after that. All right, let's get to Phillip here on the Gary Harris Show Hotline. Good morning, Phillip.
Hey, good morning. I think what's going to be interesting about this game coming up Saturday is we'll get a second volume of DeBoer preparing for Auburn. And last year, you know, he had the big win against them at home. And this one is just an enormous game, as we've all covered. We know the enormity of this game and what it means for the future of this season. So it's going to be really interesting to see how we come out and how we approach the game and how we finish it. Because I'll tell you what, you know, he's known for preparing and he's known for having a really good record against the top-ranked teams that he's faced. So it'll be a really interesting thing to watch. And Tom is exactly right. Alabama's got to come out with a dog mentality. They cannot be skittish down there and a little bit nervous and all that. So, you know, that's the thing that I hope that we can avoid more than anything. And also getting our full complement of players back. Brailsford, Jeremy Bernard, it sounds like Cravis is extremely doubtful. Or maybe by this time he may be out. I don't know, but it doesn't sound good. But getting our full complement of players back will sure be a good help.
Well, you make a good point on one thing about the coaching staff, and I should have brought this up with Rodney. The bottom line is Alabama should have an advantage in coaching staffs. I mean, you're talking about an Auburn staff that fired its head coach. They got the defensive coordinator who didn't make it at Maryland. That's been kind of a dysfunctional coaching staff for most of the year. So Alabama with Kalen DeBoer and this coaching staff should have an advantage. If you look at coaching, Alabama should have the coaching advantage in this game based on where Auburn's at without a head coach, with an interim. And we see, you know, we saw what happened with Florida with its interim against Tennessee. We've seen, you know, LSU struggling with its interim head coach. Auburn beat Mercer, but they lost to Vanderbilt. So Alabama should have an advantage in the coaching staff matchup here, period. And I agree with you on that.
Right. I missed a good bit of your show today. I had to go out of town. Do you know the status? Have you heard anything about Quavis?
No, and we won't until Coach DeBoer addresses the media today at noon. I'm sure he'll have an update then. But no, there's not going to be – when you have a guy out of a game and the coach says on Saturday night they don't know what his status is, you're not going to get anything else until Monday. So, but we will we will get an update today. I'm sure that'll be one of the first things that he does. If he doesn't do it on his own, he'll get asked about the status of the players that did not play against Eastern Illinois. So we should have an update today at noon.
Hey, Greg, what's your schedule the rest of the week?
Well, TV-wise, I'm working today, tomorrow, Wednesday. I'm going to be off Thursday. Radio-wise, I'm not sure yet because I haven't talked with Chase or Wyatt about what we're doing. I know I'm going to be doing shows. I won't do a show on Thanksgiving. I know that. We'll be doing shows on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And as long as we have the production support for Friday, I'm planning on doing a show on Friday. That could have a lot to do with you know, what the radio station says. So, you know, it's just like with the TV side of it. You know, you have to have the production people to do a show. So, but I know I'll be here the first 3 days of the week. And my plan is to do shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if we have the production support, you know, I'm planning on being in industry on Friday. But again, I'm not confident on where we're at yet with that, Philip. But I'll keep everybody up.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Philip. Appreciate your phone call. 10:16 here on the Gary Harris Show. And we are going to get in the next segment. It's going to be my goal to get to Kalen DeBoer from his press conference on Saturday night following the game at against Eastern Illinois, because he had a lot to say in that game, and I'd like to get to it. Right now, I want to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health. If you're dealing with fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain, these aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. At Game Day, customers said they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. You can expect this: boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, and stronger workouts and faster muscle recovery. Get in the game at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. And in just a very short period of time, you can be feeling better. Your personalized treatment starts with their signature three-step plan. Step one, complete intake and simple blood work. Get results in 15 minutes. Step two, meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health. And step three, begin your customized treatment plan. That's right. Men, you can feel a lot better almost immediately. Get in the game. Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. And tell them the Gary Harris Show sent you. We'll be right back with more of the Gary Harris Show after this.
West Alabama Real-Time News Update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. Tuesday could have a stormy start with a marginal 1 in 5 risk for severe storms. But Alabama Weather Network meteorologist Bill Murray doesn't believe there's a major threat.
Can we get enough helicity for tornadoes? I think that it, you know, is going to be an outside possibility. We'll just have to kind of watch it.
Stay tuned to Operation Storm Watch for updates. A shooting late yesterday.
Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special Monday.
1 to 116 would love Chick-fil-A's chicken nuggets.
Share the nuggets, share the joy. Order the 30-count Chick-fil-A nuggets on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 73. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with the low at 59. Tomorrow, cloudy with occasional rain, possibly a few thunderstorms. The high tomorrow afternoon at 72. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Stay up to date with the Crimson Tide.
Local high school sports and Bama in the pros right here.
On Tide 100.9.
All right, 522, so a couple of app messages this morning. Matthew in Tuscaloosa says Gary's fired up this morning. I don't know. I'm just, it's a big week. There's no doubt about it. And Pop and Lynette says, I believe Auburn plans to play both quarterbacks. I think there's a good chance that could happen too. And we will see for sure on Saturday. All right. Let's get to Kalen DeBoer from Saturday afternoon after the game against Eastern Illinois. He met with the media for about 8 minutes and has some good stuff to say. Of course, he'll meet again with the press today at noon. Here's Kalen DeBoer on Saturday afternoon.
Just good to get a lot of guys out there today and, of course, get the win and just a good week of practice. Good locker room downstairs. Excited about a few things. One, getting a lot of guys on the field. Had some shout outs to some of the walk-ons in particular who put in a lot of work. Guys who got some stops and put the ball in the end zone, and then looking ahead too, to the excitement of what lies ahead with the Iron Bowl and the opportunities that are in front of us. And so a lot of the things that we would just have goals for are all there, and the things we set out to do at the beginning of the season or even way back in January right in front of us. So go attack it, and I know we're going to do that, but love the response that we had this week, all week, in the work on practice.
Thank you, Coach. It's Robert Whiteside on the front with Charlie.
Yeah, Coach, just want to see if you had an update on Josh Quavis and maybe how long he'll be down for.
Yeah, we'll just kind of have to see how he comes along here during the week next week.
Darnell, on the other side, Nick.
Yeah, we saw Ryan Grubb on the sideline today. What went into that decision? Are we going to continue seeing that?
Yeah, it's just we'll talk about it afterwards, but it's something he's been thinking about here for a while now. And just communication, trying to see if there's a way where you're always trying to make things better. And doesn't mean it was bad before, but just something different. And, today was a good opportunity to do that. So we'll hash that out and, kind of see what we want to do moving forward. Thought it was good, though. I thought the communication was really good. And, there's an impact I think he makes when he's around the players. They feed off him. And I thought the communication, again, between the coaches and him just being right there with them and overseeing everything and getting a feel of what's happening, it was good.
Let's go to Colin, say it on front left.
Hey, Colin. What was your message to Connor Talti? It seemed like there was kind of a visceral reaction from fans after he missed that field goal and when he came back for an extra point. What was kind of your message to him as he continues to struggle?
Yeah, I just hope that I wish they'd have their back like I know our locker room has his back, and he's working hard, and he had a great week of practice. I don't think he missed one all week, and we put him all over the place. So, he's going to keep plugging away and just want everyone to support him. He's just like every other player on our football team, given everything he has.
Let's go to Hunter on the front right.
Yeah, just going off that, what went into the decision to put in Peter Nataro and then bring Talti back into the game after?
Well, we were maybe thinking we were going to get another chance with some field goals and things like that. We wanted to try to get a number of guys opportunities. You saw we had multiple, I think, four kickers out there that all got their chances. And, that we're probably hoping that we could get another chance to get him out there. And that never popped up.
Going far back to the Emily Grace.
Coach, 8 rushing touchdowns today. Obviously, relative to the defense that you are playing, we've often talked about how
there needs to be a confidence and belief that this team can run the ball. So what did you see in that area, and what does this set this team up for going forward?
Yeah, I just think that it's always execution and just more reps. Everything, you get better with reps, and it doesn't matter what your position is, head coach, position coach, player. And so, a day like today, there's just a lot of reps. And, we had a shake up there with the offensive line with Gino in there and a few other guys. And so, again, more reps for those guys against, the looks that we saw. And so dip mixed in running backs. And I thought they all ran hard and got their opportunities. And so, it's just trying to build on everything. Again, I thought a week ago, I thought we took a step forward. And we'll watch the film and continue to go back to work. And I feel like we got a physical football team, both sides of the ball. And, that's what it's going to come down to here as we go down this home stretch.
Question for Drew, second row.
Coach, I was going to ask you about the tight ends. Obviously, Quavis, you said you'll decide to see what happens in practice. You got to see a lot of them today. How does that, if with his availability being in question, how does that change things? And how do you go forward with the tight end spot and how you rotated it today? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you bet. Caleb, he's played all year. He's had big catches going back to the very beginning of the season. And just the combination of guys working together, I think, is always key, whether they're working together in the blocking schemes. And that was a big part of what we were trying to do, too, is just getting some of those guys reps together, building for the future. And so, there's intentionality on some of the calls and personnel groupings, with the potential situations that could happen. And, I thought getting Marshall Pritchett, who's going to be a really good football player, the last few weeks, he's really gained a lot of steam, gotten a few reps. He's been great on special teams. And, we saw him early in the season, scout team tearing it up and, getting healthier throughout the year. And now he's out there, doing his thing. And it was good to see he get comfortable. It's good to see Brody out there making some plays and playing physical, too.
All right, let's finish up with Theo right across the aisle.
How do you evaluate Keelan's growth over the past 2 months since we've seen him, and what do you think of his performance out there?
Yeah, I credit him. I credit our staff. I think, it's always hard to get three guys a lot of reps in practice, but I think we've really done a good job. And credit to Nick Sheridan, Ryan Grubb of having some intentionality about how we can get all those guys really important, valuable reps, and they take it very seriously. Not just when they're on the field, but when they're behind the line, going through their checks and giving these guys a chance to go out there and play. You can see he I thought he made a lot of good decisions. There's, one to finish a drive there. Probably got a little anxious, a little quick on it. I think hang in there a little bit longer. He could have made something happen. But, that's going to happen, especially with where he's at in his progression. But come a long ways throughout the season. The way he spits out things in the huddle, just command of the offense, command of the verbiage. He's right there and doing a great job, as is Austin Mack. Austin goes out there and, really don't skip a beat with any of those guys.
Coach, we do have one more follow-up here.
Yeah,
Charlie.
Yeah.
Sticking with the quarterbacks, what did you see from Ty today, and what was your message to him after those two picks?
Well, yeah, the last one, he has to throw it in the end zone at the end of the half. In fact, I told him, I'm glad you threw it in the end zone because that means the stats don't matter. Right, because that would be one where a lot of quarterbacks would have just checked it down, and you're up 28-0, I think it was at the time, and they don't want that. I appreciate that about Ty. That's going to do no good. Your goal is to try to score, he had a good week of practice, and probably forced the one in there. I'll have to see the film a little bit. I haven't checked that play, probably forced that one in there. And I think sometimes that happens in these games is you try to force the ball down the field. He didn't get as many opportunities. Probably knew it was going to be a shortened game, but you got to be disciplined. And I really feel like he'll do that moving forward, just like he has all season.
Thank you, Coach.
You bet. Yep.
All right, there you go, Coach Kevin DeBoer. Perfect timing. Time for us to get to the break. He spoke with the media on Saturday night. He will again today at noon. And for all the people that have called in asking, there should be an injured player update for everybody today during the press conference at noon. All right, before we hit the break, reminder, the YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. I've been saying it. Now's the best time to get in there. Get a jump on your conditioning for the new year. You might not be eating great right now, but you can still work out. You can still build up your stamina and get ready for when the new year comes and you're ready to dive in full speed. YMCA of Tuscaloosa, 2300 13th Street, downtown. We'll be back with Casey Smith on golf next year on the Gary Harris Show.
State. Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
The official lighting of the trail. And the best part? It's completely free. For more details on the grand opening and upcoming events, visit ttowntinsel.com.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:34. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show on a beautiful Monday morning. Absolutely gorgeous weather here, although there could be some storms tomorrow, so enjoy today. It's time for Casey Smith on golf here on the Gary Harris Show. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Gary. Doing great. Hope you're well. Yeah, beautiful day. Beautiful fall day. Stealing a little weather. Thanksgiving week. Iron Bowl week. And just PGA Tour season just wrapped up. So lots going on.
It did. And the RSM Classic over beautiful St. Simons Island, Georgia. And again, we see the depth of the PGA Tour. These season-ending tournaments have provided a lot of opportunities for players. Sammy Valamaki being the latest as he wins the RSM Classic by a shot, and now his life has been changed forever on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I mean, congrats to Sammy Valamaki. He gets his first win, actually the first player to ever win on the PGA Tour from Finland. I think a river like his family traveled thousands of miles to get there to watch that win, and a really huge win. He was well outside of the FedEx Top 100 now, and now that the fields are, now that the keeping your card had been shrunk down to top 100, and needed really a win to get it. So congrats to him. That's a certainly a life-changing win. And there were a few other guys who were able to slide in that top 100. And then, you know, one of our guys got really close there and is going to be just on the outside of that, Lee Hodges at 101. But, you know, he still is going to be able to get in a lot of events. One top 100 on the FedEx Cup Fall finishing list all receives their cards. They're in the players, all four majors, and then all signature events. And then the next top, you know, 100 to 125 is conditional. You're going to get in most events, and he'll get into most events, and he'll have a chance to go to Q School to even get in that top 100. And if there were to be a player that were to go to live out of that top 100, Lee would move up, would get him in all those events. He's still going to get a lot of starts. He's had a win, obviously, in 23, but his exemption of that ran out. But that, you know, past champions category will keep him up there, especially he's only 101. So I would look for him to get in all non-signature events for next year. And, you know, the crazy difference in that list and how that shuffle goes, 110 to 112, it's like two more events. Well, two more events on the PGA Tour, as we discuss almost weekly. I mean, look, Sammy Valamaki, like, I mean, changed his life in one event. You only need one event, and you're playing for, you know, life-changing money anyway, as it is. So that was the one I kept watching yesterday. And Lee, you know, credit to Lee, finished in the top five, and he went from 122 to 101.
Yeah, the irony there that he had a top five finish and he's at 101. And I guess theoretically, Casey Valamaki winning knocked Lee out of the top 100.
It did. Had Valamaki not won, he wouldn't have earned enough points. Those points, you know, you get all the bonus points for winning. You're right. He would have. And so I know that he was watching. And I heard Lee Hodges, who super guy from Ardmore, Alabama, obviously played at Bama. He talks about, you know, no pity. We played every shot all year. A lot of these guys coming in here going, oh, woe is me. He handled the interviews with so much class, really represented Alabama well. And, you know, I think he knows, hey, it's the difference in me playing in probably 20. I probably get 20 events this year instead of 25. Mike can play my way into a few more. This is just his 25th event this year, and he was on a two-year, you know, exemption thing. So I would say it's somewhere in there is what he's going to be able to play anyway. So, you know, still control your own destiny.
So we're done now, other than, you know, the Hero Challenge and few, you know, the events that don't count on the PGA Tour. So the next tournament for the 2026 season will be the Tournament of Champions over Hawaii, correct?
Yeah, and what they did with that Tournament of Champions, it has been postponed because they had a five-month drought over there, and they're going to, for the first time ever, they're not opening the season in Maui right there after the turn of the year. They're going to still play the Sony Open the next week, but in Maui had this crazy drought. The course is burned up. They're going to go back there next year, and they're going to actually make up this event because anyone that was in that top, you know, it basically was just like a cash grab for everyone. They had this huge purse, and there was a limited field for all the winners from the year, all the people that got their card or finished inside the top 60 that didn't win. And it really, if you look at it on this list, all the guys that we follow outside of if Justin Thomas finished 7th for the year, Sepp Straka from Hoover finished 30th, Bud Cauley, 47th. He doesn't have a win, but Bud really played his way for the whole year. I mean, big congrats to him. He played his way into all the events for next year. So he's in all the full field and signature events, all the players, you know, all that. So this is, I think for Bud, it's his first real year where he's got the full schedule for all the prizes. And, you know, we saw at times, we talked about him potentially at one time, maybe sliding in the Ryder Cup team when he was on a run. Hopefully he has a great year and builds on it. Davis Riley had the win and exemption. He's at 79. We just discussed Lee at 101. Matt Wallace from JSU, he finished 103. He actually went back and forth inside the top 100 over the weekend and then out. But, you know, he's got some conditional and he's got full status on the DP World Tour. Frankie Zappan at 127. Once you're in that 125 to 150 category, you really have even worse conditional status. He'll be back at Q School, but he'll get 10 or 12 starts. Dunlap is at 134. He obviously has a two-year exemption. Trey Mullinax did himself a huge favor yesterday. He got to two number 150, so he at least gets conditional status, and he's in a past champions category. He'll probably get 8 to 12 starts, but he'll have to go to Q School. Pat Gesar at 180. He has that two-year exemption from winning last year, and really needs it, but he's got a full year exempt into everything for winning last year. And then Gordon Sargent and Robbie Shelton, 203 and 12. Gordon Sargent will be going to Q School, and so will Robbie Shelton, but they get to go advance past first stages. So, yeah, I mean, all the guys we cover, a lot of good for a lot, you know, a lot of good years there, and some guys that had a little heartbreak, but, you know, still control their destiny.
All right, before we move, I want to get your thoughts on the Iron Bowl. Anything else that you want to cover, DP World Tour or live news or anything else in the world of golf?
The funny thing, I look at Dick Dunlap's, we always track him. I looked at his progress over in Japan. He finished P22, and there were a bunch of guys in the field, but he had that one, he had a triple bogey again. You know, a triple bogey when you finish T22 means you're going to finish top 10 or better, right? If you've eliminated that triple bogey, that's that one swing, bad driver swing, you know it had to be. And then Laurie Cantor, we talked to him last week, was the first player to go PGA Tour or live, PGA Tour to live back to PGA Tour. That didn't last but a few days. I guess money talks. He's back on live. So I'm assuming they had a space that they needed filled on a team. They go pay someone whatever he, you know, thought he could make this year. They've given him a guaranteed check for that, and then he's got a chance to go earn it. I've heard that's how they're doing it. Hey, we think you're going to make $4 million this year on the PGA Tour, three. Here's a $3 million check, plus you get to play in 16 events with a purse of $20 million or $25 million. So that war is not over with yet. And then, yes, your point, Stuart Sink from Florence, three wins on the year and won the Schwab Cup. They're making a pretty big deal about that. This first year out there on tour, on the Champions Tour. And, you know, not many people have gone out there. He's the first one to ever go out, or one of three to go out and win the Schwab Cup in their first year. I think you would expect a really big career from him out there on that Champions Tour. He's young, vibrant, hits it a long way. I still see him a lot over here in Atlanta. Share a bunch of mutual friends. But, yeah, that's it on the golf route. You got the Hero World Challenge coming up in December. You got a couple of the father-son events. And then you have the TGL season kicking off as well in December. So we'll get that again in December, January, and February. Just no JT with his injury.
All right, your initial thoughts on the Iron Bowl.
You know, it's once again, Iron Bowl game day. I was going. I'm not now. There's Riley Green in there on Friday night. They have all the bells and whistles they could throw into a weekend to try to, you know, their Super Bowl, the Auburn Super Bowl, and now it's Alabama Super Bowl. There's really no other way to get to achieve any of our goals if we don't. Now you've got a quarterback that's come off that we're going to have to prepare for two quarterbacks. I mean, I still think we're the better team. I hate going into a place where their defensive coordinator, who's trying to get the head coaching job, is going to throw everything at us. And the only way he gets the head coaching job is if he wins as the interim coach. And so if he wins this game, I hear they're going to hire him. Well, I mean, we're going to get everything from them. So, you know, you always got to beat Auburn if you want to achieve your goals. It's only happened, one time we really won a national title, we lost Auburn. So, if you really want to achieve your goals, you got to go in there and play the standard and win. And you know, there's some thoughts out there. If we were to lose this game, the coaching carousel might swing into Alabama's way. I don't even want to go there with it because I want to win. I want to beat Auburn, right? And I hope everyone has that mentality, and I'm sure they do inside that facility. And then, you know, as for basketball today and tomorrow tipping off, we just got another top five win. Playing 13 Gonzaga today. I mean, it is, you know, we're and we don't even have Bethea yet from Miami, so he's not even on the roster, or he's on the roster, he's not even playing yet due to being hurt. So, man, I just continue to see this basketball team be the best team we've ever had.
We'll see, but they've got a lot of talent, and they're fun to watch, that's for sure. Hey, great stuff, Chase. Appreciate it, man.
What's your thought on the Iron Bowl? What's the Iron Bowl prediction from Gary Harris?
Well, I'll make my prediction tomorrow night on Tider Insider TV, so I'll hold that. But, I mean, I'm like everybody else. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I'll say this. Listen, Alabama should have an advantage in the coaching staff. They should have an advantage overall still in the talent level, and they should have an advantage because they're a better team. I mean, again, I give Auburn a lot of credit for keeping it together, but they're 5-6 and 1-6 in the league, and Alabama's 9-2 and 6-1 in the league. So, Alabama's
give me Alabama 27, Auburn 21. We get out of there and we get on to the SEC championship game.
We'll take it. All right. Thank you, Casey.
Take care, Gary.
All right. 10:46 here on the Gary Harris Show. We got one segment to go. We'll be wide open for phone calls again in the next segment at 205-342-9904. I'd love to hear your opinions on the Iron Bowl. We've had a lot of strong opinions already this morning. I sense a lot of anxiety from Alabama fans about the game, but you know what? That's the nature of rivalry games. There's a lot of anxiety with Michigan and Ohio State. There's a lot of anxiety with Georgia and Georgia Tech. And even though they're bad teams, there's a lot of anxiety for Florida and Florida State. Everybody wants to win their rivalry game. Texas and Texas A&M, a lot of anxiety. So that just goes with these rivalries. No different for this one. But Alabama, I will say this again for the record, Alabama's a better football team than Auburn. That's not debatable. I mean, you got 11 games, and you can see who's the better football team. Now, does that guarantee you a win? Absolutely not. But Alabama is a better team. All right, we'll be back to wrap up the show. Your phone calls are welcome, 205-342-9904. We're coming back after this.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris from the Gary Harris Show here at Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, wishing you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept, Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m., available for after.
Lemonade are the perfect play call for your party. So, before kickoff, remember that football starts with Foo. Foo Sackley's, proud partner of the Crimson Tide.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily... Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square. Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 73. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 59. Tomorrow, cloudy with occasional rain, possibly a few thunderstorms. The high tomorrow afternoon at 72. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Did you miss any episode on Tide 100.9? Don't worry. All of our shows can be found on Spotify and Apple Music and on demand on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:51. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Another app message from LJSM and Mamble says, y'all are not making me feel really good about the game this weekend. Well, like I said, let me reiterate, Alabama's a better football team than Auburn. That I have no doubt about. But it is a rivalry. And Michigan last year, Ohio State won the national championship and couldn't beat Michigan at home. So rivalry games are different. That's what makes them special. That's why you have the anxiety. So, but if you want to feel better, Alabama's a better team, has a better coaching staff, has a better quarterback. Alabama should win the game. But there is that but. It's at Auburn. They're going to put everything they've got into it. It's a chance to salvage their season. It's a chance to get bowl eligible. It's a chance for their interim head coach to make a case that he should be the permanent head coach. So it's going to be a tough football game. But, yes, I think Alabama should win the game. And I'll make my prediction, score prediction tomorrow night on Tide or Insider TV at 6:30 on WVUA 23. Let me bring Chase in here since we don't have a phone call. We got just a few minutes to go here on the segment. Chase is a Mississippi State guy. He is getting his degree from Mississippi State. So they've got the Egg Bowl on Friday, and Ole Miss should win that game. Ole Miss is a better team than Mississippi State. Ole Miss has got a coach that just about can name his name the place that he wants to coach at. But Mississippi State has a chance to salvage its season. So, Chase, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, as a Mississippi State fan, you know that Ole Miss has got a better football team than Mississippi State, but you feel like your team has a chance to win the game, right?
100%, Gary, especially with all the commotion that's going down in Oxford with Coach Kiffin and just so much circulation where he might go, where he might stay. If this is all a ploy, we don't know, but it gives Mississippi State more ammo, to run the table, and Mississippi State is not afraid of Ole Miss. I'm going to let you know right now. They do have the better team and everything, but this is in Starkville. It's in, I would say, our house as a Mississippi State student, but I think Mississippi State has more than enough motivation, more than enough game film to really pull up the upset. We don't like Ole Miss at all. We can't stand them. And what to do it where we could potentially be the reason why Ole Miss can't go to the playoffs. You know, we have a great quarterback in Blake Shapen. We have good wide receivers. Coach Lebby has really turned this program around in a way that us Mississippi State fans have been waiting for this, you know, ever since the passing of Mike Leach and so much more. We're so thankful that we're in this opportunity to really derail Ole Miss. And I think there is an upset brewing down in Stark Vegas on Friday. It is kind of weird that the game is on Friday, but I think just where Mississippi State is going and with Ole Miss and so much just going on and Lane Kiffin here and there and then with injuries on Ole Miss's side and, you know, playing in Stark Vegas is no easy task. I feel like Mississippi State has the upper edge to really pull off something that really could derail Ole Miss's season.
And that's the same way Auburn people feel. See, that's why that's a great analogy that you just made. As a Mississippi State fan, you believe because that's what rivalries are about. And you're at home and you're going to have an electric atmosphere and you believe your team can do it. And that's the same thing with Auburn fans. It's the same thing with Michigan fans. It's the same thing with all of these fans of these schools that are underdogs, but it's rivalry weekend. So anything can happen. And, you know, do I think Ole Miss, as I said, is a better football team than Mississippi State? Yes, I do. But does that guarantee that Ole Miss is going to win the game? No, it doesn't. Same thing with Alabama and Auburn. Same thing with Ohio State and Michigan. Ohio State is a better football team than Michigan, but Michigan has beaten them four consecutive times. And this game is in Ann Arbor. So I guarantee the Michigan fans are saying, we're going to do it again. That's what makes rivalry so special is you say you can throw out the records. You really can't because the records do define who you are after 11 games, but they don't guarantee success for the team that is the better football team. And none of these teams that we've talked about in these rivalry games, you know, and listen, Georgia is not guaranteed success against Georgia Tech, even though the game is in Athens. Georgia Tech's coming off a really, really disappointing loss for them. I mean, just a devastating loss. Having said that, Georgia last year was very fortunate to win that game. What did it wind up going to like seven overtimes or something? And Georgia Tech had numerous opportunities to win it. But that was in Atlanta. But I guarantee you, Georgia fans are still nervous. Haynes King is a tremendous quarterback for Georgia Tech. So across the country. And what I'm saying to you, Alabama fans, is what you're feeling is shared by fans of schools all around the country. When you're playing your biggest rival, and for Alabama, you have to put that in quotation marks because there's so many big rivals. Tennessee, LSU, you know, Georgia. But this is the in-state rival. This is the final game of the year. And this is the one that if you lose it, it stays with you for an entire year. And, you know, and I'll say Tennessee does as well, but Alabama's already won that game. So they don't have to worry about that. But they still have to play Auburn. All right, we're going to have fun this week on the show. As I said, I know we're here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We'll not be here Thursday. I'll get with Chase and Wyatt about Friday. I don't know yet if we're going to be doing a show or if we'll have the production support. If we do a show that I can actually be at Innisfree, it's Fridays for free, but I don't know, again, coming off Thanksgiving weekend, but I'll find all that out. But for sure, live shows tomorrow, live show on Wednesday. I'll be on TV tonight with your local sports and also Tyler Insider TV, as I said, coming up tomorrow night at 6:30 on WBOH 23. That's when Rodney and I will have our score predictions for the Iron Bowl. So you want to stay tuned for that. Hey, Chase, thank you. Thank you for your great work. We got the Miller's Edge coming up next. And before we get out of here, lunch is right around the corner. Great lunch specials at Rock and Roll Sushi. I promise you, downtown Tuscaloosa, right there on University Boulevard, you're going to love those lunch specials. And the sushi is unbelievable. The hibachi grill, get one of those hibachi bowls. That's one of their lunch specials. Man, you get it all mixed together, the rice, the meat of your choice, protein of your choice, and the great hibachi vegetables. That's it, Rock and Roll Sushi. All right, the Miller's Edge is coming up next. For Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. Have a great day, everybody.
for listening.